Good morning, church, and Happy New Year to you all. With all the hope that 2023 brings, it's hard to believe it's 2023, isn't it? But a new year awaits, and we have a lot to look forward to. Welcome to you all, especially, and those online, of course, and especially any visitors that are with us, either in here or watching for the first time online. During January, our services will be a bit pared down. Our pastor is on annual leave, but also just to give some of those regular people who do a lot of the work on Sunday mornings, just to give them a bit of a breather. So the services will still include all the essential bits. There may just be a little less of those bits. So welcome again this morning. Let's stand. Let's celebrate the Lord our God.
Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came near from the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. And you
amazing is his love, and he gave his life for us.
The joy that we who are redeemed. sin undone by death and grace. Your amazing love gave life eternally. Sun, moon, and stars, and all creation cannot tell. Angels.
Lord Heavenly Father, your amazing love is with us always, that you gave your Son to die for us. Lord, it's astounding to remember that the creatures of the earth and the angels of the heavens have no idea what it's like to be lost, to be in the dark, and then to be able to see the light and to be saved and to be in the presence of God again. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. And this morning, Lord, we open ourselves to you and give you ourselves that you may speak into our hearts, that you may guide us, nudge us, encourage us. Open our hearts and our minds, we pray. And Lord, we give ourselves not just today, but for the coming week. And we bring you the offering of our finances, our goods, as well as our times and talents. And we ask that you use all these to further your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. As I gave thought to communion today, it seemed to me there are contrasts on this day. We have the communion set before us. Here is a certainty. We look on this table and we understand God's love is there for us. But this is the 1st of January also, and it's full of uncertainties. I've heard numerous people say, I hope that this new year is not going to be as bad as the last year we've just had. We don't know what's going to happen. What lies ahead? And I tried to bring these two things together, the certainty and the uncertainty. And my thoughts went to a certain poem, and some of you will know immediately what that poem is because I've quoted it before. But it is a poem by John Greenleaf Whittier. It's called The Eternal Goodness. And I want to quote two verses now, another verse in a short time. They're only very short verses. Yet, in the maddening maze of things, and tossed by storm and flood, to one fixed trust my spirit clings. I know that God is good. And the second verse, I know not what the future hath of marvel or surprise, assured alone that life and death his mercy underlies. He brings that hope, that certainty. Now, I've mentioned this poem before. It was a poem that came from Whittier's hand, 22 verses in all, and it was his response to the elders coming to him and pushing him to sign up to certain doctrines that he must believe. And his argument in return was this poem, that his faith was based in a relationship with God whom he trusted implicitly. So as we approach our communion in this new year, I'm sure that we come with similar thinking. I could use the old cliche, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. It's presented in a beautiful way in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And only a week ago, we were saying, God with us, Emmanuel. The answer is in, of course, the birth of Jesus, his life, death and resurrection. The one who said, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we join with the saints of Christendom as we share around this table of love. And with the poet we can say, and here's the third verse, I know not where his islands lift, their fronded palms in air. I only know I cannot drift beyond his love and care. So this is the table of the Lord. It's made ready for us, we who believe. It's also made for those who find their belief not as far as they would like it to be, but who want to love the good Lord even more. So come, you who have much faith, and you who have little. You've been here often, and you who have not been here for a long time, you who have tried to follow, and you who have failed. Come, because it is the Lord who invites you. It's his will that you should meet him around this very special place. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, for us you were born, for us you healed, preached, taught, and showed the way to heaven. For us you were crucified, and for us after death you rose again. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that we might find healing and forgiveness and be made whole. Amen. We take the bread and we remember the bread of life. In the upper room, Jesus took the bread and broke it and shared it with his disciples. And we take the cup of salvation. Here are the gifts of God for the people of God. Listen again to what the good apostle wrote about this time. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We share together with thee, help us, please come forward. We take the bread, we remember that Jesus is the bread of life. We shall hold the bread and all partake together. And so we share together. And now we take the cup as we remember that his blood was shed for us. And so we drink together in remembrance. I know not where his islands lift their fronded palms in air. I only know I cannot drift beyond his love and care. We share now in our prayers, and perhaps done a little differently today. Firstly, there will be a meditation that comes from the anthology of Terry Fowler about the new year. And then a time of silence where I invite you to pray your special prayers for the new year, and about people, about things you need to pray for, and then we shall share in the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Eternal and ever-loving God, Creator of life and Lord of time, as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we pray that we may stand with you. You have always been there, going before us to prepare the way, standing behind us, urging us on towards new hopes and a new creation, being with us in the company of your people and the life of your Spirit. You have always been there, Lord, calling us again to follow you. Help us today to see this moment of new year as you see it. Help us to walk quietly and thankfully away from the old year. We thank you for its joys and achievements, and all the days of growth and love. We thank you too for strength given amid suffering and hope arising out of fear. We are sorry for our mistakes, for the wrong we could have avoided, the hurt we have caused. We confess our pride, our greed, and our failure to love. Lord, grant us, we pray, your judgment of mercy, your forgiving grace, even as we forgive one another. Let us know your healing power, that we may again be ourselves. I invite you to pray silently now. And now we share in our special prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 19. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is the word of the Lord.
How nicely that reflected Colin's prayer. The hope for the future, leaving the past behind. Let's rededicate ourselves to getting to know this God better and working in his service. Let's stand.
Jesus, all for Jesus.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Now, I have to say that Colin and I didn't compare notes. So I really have to believe that my words are God's words for you today, for all of us today. Because I start by saying, welcome to 2023, but then to say, but I don't know about you, but I'm very glad to see the end of 22. So many people have voiced to me that 2022 was for them a very difficult, sometimes confusing, sometimes confronting, and indeed for some, very isolating year. So, as we gather on this first day of the new year, and there's something, I don't know, rather symbolic about the first day of the new year being a Sunday when we gather around the communion table. And I think it's rather special, and I think God will bless that for us through the year. But as we gather on this day, I'd like to suggest that we try to let go of all that is behind us, those words have already been said this morning, and look forward to what is before us. Now, I was one of those strange children who really loved school right from the beginning. As each new year began, I would look forward to receiving the pile of new untouched exercise books. Back then, they were given. I would take them home, cover them with brown paper, probably put a picture on the front, cover it with plastic, create a title page, and wait for school to begin. The first few pages began neatly and ordered. And then, as the term progressed, they would become messy with red lines, crossing outs, smudges, and despite my very best intentions, ragged edges to the pages. A bit like life, really. A new year promises opportunities. We greet it with hope and anticipation, and new resolutions are made. But life has a habit of challenging our resolutions and decisions, and we soon find it's not as we hoped it might be. But we must not lose hope, because our God has promised to be with us in every aspect of life and says to us, do not be afraid. Whatever life dishes out, he is our strength and our assurance that we can face whatever confronts us with courage and, dare I say, even a small sense of peace. A well-loved song of my youth has as its chorus, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because he lives. I think these are amazing words of encouragement as we deal with these uncertain times. Because he lives, all fear is gone. That doesn't mean it won't get messy and it won't get difficult, but the fear is gone. So I titled my message for today, The Aha Moment. That moment when you have an epiphany. And that means an illuminating realisation or discovery, often resulting in a personal feeling of elation or wonder. That moment when you suddenly understand or become conscious of that something which has eluded you. It's been right there, but you haven't been able to grab it. It is like a light going on and all becomes clear. Well, we're still in the Christmas season. That doesn't finish for a few days. And as I have continued to reflect on that story, I became conscious of the significance of the aha moments for the players in that story. I haven't looked at it this way before. The second chapter of Luke's Gospel is the Jesus story, as he takes us from the angel visiting a young woman right through to a young man being baptised in the River Jordan. It is indeed our aha moment when we realise that all the characters in the story are just ordinary people, a bit like each of us, really, doing what they do. When God speaks into the ordinariness and makes it extraordinary. Just for a few moments, Mary, just a young girl, sleeping. An angel appears and suggests that she will have a baby whom she will call Jesus. But she's not married. Is this a dream? Is it real? Whatever it was frightening in its implications, and she was troubled. Remember what the angel said? Do not be afraid. Mary's response to that is quite remarkable. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Here is the awe of that epiphany. And the shepherds out in the field, just doing their job, enjoying the quiet beauty of the night, and suddenly the whole sky lights up and strange voices tell them of the birth of a special baby in a stable. They are terrified, and what does the angel say? Do not be afraid. So they just left the sheep. I often wonder what happened to the sheep when they just went off, but maybe they were already in the fold. And they went to see for themselves. Here is wonder. And then Simeon and Anna in the temple, two quite elderly people who were devout believers who had waited for a very long time for a revelation from God. As Simeon held the baby Jesus, barely 4 weeks old, he just knew that this was no ordinary baby. Simeon and Anna then had their moment of revelation, the promise of God fulfilled. Surely this was elation. But then there's a period of waiting, and we simply read that the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. Do you ever wonder what happened in those waiting years? Well, I've got a bit of an imagination, but I suspect he was just like any other Jewish child, fully human, remember, fully human. He experienced life in all its ordinariness. I'm sure he enjoyed exploring the countryside. I know our boys used to go off in every direction and maybe come home in time for tea or maybe not, taking in all that he could see and experience. I imagine that he probably could have caused his mum some concern if he didn't sort of get home in time for dinner, or maybe upset Joseph a little bit when he didn't quite catch that thing that he should be understanding in the workshop. I suspect, though, that he was one of those children who absorb more than we realise, constantly adding to their understanding and their environment, and they tuck it all away for future reference. As Jesus matured, I imagine those visits to the temple every year were pretty special, adding another dimension to his understanding, maybe developing a sense of purpose, which was, as yet, not fully revealed. And then Jesus is 12. So now he can sit with the men at the feet of the teachers. As he listened and learned, he became so absorbed that his family left without him. When they returned, his response to his parents was, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Was this Jesus' epiphany, his aha moment, and maybe even for Mary and Joseph? because it then says they returned, and as Jesus grew, he increased in wisdom and favour with God and people. Nothing more is heard of Jesus until he presents at the age of 30 at the River Jordan to John the Baptist. The message actually heads up that chapter as a baptism of life change. Jesus' final illumination. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And his direction was set. His life changed forever. Mary, Joseph, shepherds, Simeon and Anna, even Jesus in his humanness, ordinary people who had an extraordinary encounter with God and could never be the same again. So, what does this say to us as we move into 2023? Well, it says to me that in the ordinariness of our life, we have a relationship with one who knows exactly what it means to be human, who knows what it means to face uncertainties and challenges, who has known the worries, frustrations, hurts, and pains of human existence. So he can say, "Do not be afraid. I will be with you. There is nothing that can ever happen that you and I cannot get through together." What a promise. But mostly it says to me that we must be alert and expectant that God will speak into the ordinariness of our life and challenge us, and maybe even call us out of our comfort zone for his purpose. Centuries before, God wanted someone to lead his people out of captivity in Egypt. You know, he did not choose a soldier, which you would have thought would be fairly logical. Remember, he chose a shepherd. Moses, again, is just minding his sheep. An angel appears to him, a bush that's burning, it's not being consumed. When the Lord saw that Moses had noticed that, God called to him, and Moses answered with these words, "Here I am." But then God tells this humble shepherd that he is to lead God's people, all these thousands of people, out of Egyptian bondage into deliverance and freedom. Moses' reaction, "Who am I?" He's really saying, "You've got it wrong. You've got the wrong person, God. I'm only a shepherd." God's answer is quite intriguing. He simply says, "I will be with you." In other words, it doesn't matter who you are, Moses. Your background and pedigree are immaterial to me. I have called you and I will be with you. Do not be afraid. We know that God can do amazing things, but he chooses to use us to be a part of those miracles. That reading, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs up forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." But God wants us to take that way through the wilderness and the desert. So it seems to me that as we embrace this year, we need to be alert to the holiness in the ordinary and expect that God will continue to reveal himself to us. From those stories, there is no age limit when it comes to God's revelations. Now, your church leaders believe that we are a crucial point in our witness in this place. It is wonderful that gifts have been given to support David's full-time ministry, but our future is not just about David. It requires that all of us step out of our comfort zone and listen to the cries of the people. We introduced Friday Friends last year, and that was a great success. We met new people, had great conversations, and the first one for this year will be on the 27th of January. But how else might we connect with the community? I encourage you, every person here, to dream dreams, to see visions of what the Vines might become. What might you be able to do to enhance our ministry? Share your dreams with the leaders. Maybe it could be something as simple as helping Jenny and Peter on Sunday morning with a tea and coffee. Maybe you could offer a word of greeting or make a phone call to someone who is isolated or send a note of encouragement. You never know how much a random act of kindness can make a difference to a lonely soul. If we all put our little piece of the puzzle, and my husband is right into big jigsaw puzzles, but if we put each piece into that puzzle, that big picture will emerge of what we are meant to be in this community. It's going to require courage and faith and a sincere desire to share God's love and grace. God has a task for every one of us as we seek to be God's presence in our community in new and creative ways. What this looks like in 2023 and beyond is actually up to us. What we do, God will bless 100-fold. Each one of us must be alert to the possibility that God might indeed break into our ordinaries. I know I've said that before, but we must be alert that God might break into our ordinariness and call us out, regardless of age or experience. We must be prepared to respond, because if we do not expect, we will not hear, and we will lose that moment. Trevor reminded us in a sermon some months ago now that you are enough, because God does the rest. It is about saying, "Here I am, Lord." We had hoped to be able to use that song to close our service this morning, but we can't do that. But "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go where you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." So, remember those empty pages that are before us. May we look back this time next year and be amazed at how they read, because we responded to that aha moment for us and said, "Here I am, Lord." Okay, the pages might be a bit ragged or blotched, maybe have some red lines and scratching out, but they will say that we gave it our best. Some things worked and some things didn't, but at least we tried. I would like to finish with this poem from Howard Thurman, which I think is a challenge for us as we move forward into this year. It's called "The Work of Christmas." When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. We may not be able to do all of those, but we certainly can do some of them. So I encourage you to expect an aha moment just for you as we go into 2023. Thank you.
Thank you, Marge. It's given us something to think about. And of course, if anybody requires prayer or would like to chat about anything that's moved them this morning, then please come to the front here and one of the elders will be with you. Is there any notices in particular that anybody needs to? Looks good. The newsletter that was put out a couple of weeks ago is still relevant, so onward and upward into 2023. Let's stand, let's dedicate our lives in anticipation of that aha moment.
May 2023 be a year of increased riches of grace, hearing his word more clearly, knowing his heart more dearly, resting in his love more fully, trusting his care more completely, walking his pathway more peacefully, knowing his presence more intimately, blessed by his goodness more abundantly. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.